verses 9 through 13, and I obviously typed the wrong verse out when I sent it to Tanya. Made a mistake there. Psalm 89 is a great psalm, Patrick. I mean, and maybe there's a sermon for that particular psalm this morning. Someone else would have to preach that. My sermon will come from Psalm 86, verses 9 through 13. Let me read that, and I apologize. That was completely my mistake. Psalm 86, verses 9 through 13. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Verse 12, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Notice the psalmist. I will walk in your truth, unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Here is a psalmist, a man who wants to praise God. Let me ask this question of you this morning. Why did you come? To praise God. I mean, you didn't come to hear a sermon, although you're going to get that as you now that you're here. But you didn't come just to sing along with Dan and to rejoice. That's not the only reason you came. It might be part of the reason that you came. You came for God. He is the reason that you came. I've heard people talk, and there is some truth to it, and I've read several things along this line. People have said, you know, we don't want to go to heaven just to not go to hell. And I'll say, there's probably some truth. I mean, I don't know anyone that wants to go to hell. There's probably people out there that do. I don't think you're that kind of people. And so you want to go to heaven. If there's two choices, that's one and heaven's the other, and you'll choose heaven. But the reason for wanting to go to heaven should be because God is there. Heaven is God's home. We want to be in God's presence. The reason that you came today was not just to give some money to the church so that the church could do great things, although that will happen and that has happened today. The reason that you came, the reason that you sing, the reason that you listen to God's word, the reason that you give of your means, the reason that we talk to God is because He is God. And because He is God, the psalmist is saying, because you're God, I'll walk in your truth. Your truth is the only truth that matters. It is your truth that I want to walk in. Because you are God, verse 12, I will praise you. Because you are God, I will fear your name. Because you are God, I will glorify your name forevermore. The Bible says that we are to worship God continually. Now, I do realize that we have a specified time that we set aside to worship God, and that is certainly biblical. You read through the Corinthian letter, and you see that the church comes together for a specified time, for a specified purpose, and in that specified time and purpose, worship to God is what happens, and there are things that are to be done in that specified time and for that specified purpose. But it is also true that we are to be a living sacrifice that worships God continually with our life. It's not like we shut off our relationship with God once we leave service and once we go home. It's not like we shut off God once we go to a ball game or once we experience our job. It's not like we shut off God when we deal with our friends and our family members. No, we are people who have given ourselves to God, period. 24/7, 7 days a week. And so we continually worship and praise God. We praise Him, some said, from sunrise to sunset. And there's reason to praise Him in all of that time. In the Bible, people praised God at work. They praised God at home. Now get this, they praised God in battle, in jail, and even in bed. Giving praise and glory to God should be the first activity that we do when we open our eyes every morning. and should be the last thing that we do before we close our eyes every evening. Everything we do in life, in some way, form, or fashion. I'm not saying we can't have fun, and I'm not saying that we can't joke around and be less serious. No, we can do that. But our lives are to be totally committed to Him and to honor and praise Him as to the Lord and not to men. And so this psalmist says some beautiful things here. Notice in verse 9, number 1, he praises the Lord for the beauty of His creation. All nations whom you have made, God, you're the one behind all of this, shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Here he's referring to the one who created everything. Notice that as he talks about the beauty of God's creation, which is a reason to praise God, notice he creates the nations. You remember what Paul said about our response to the nations, right? And to the legal authorities in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God, according to Paul. But there's also another reason as we consider what God's created. Not only the nations, but He's created the earth. Now, you realize that if the earth deviated from its course around the sun by even a fraction of an inch, one way or the other, we would either burn up or we would freeze to death. I mean, just in the way that God has created this world is so beautiful and unique. And I'm not here to talk about all of the intricate ways in which God has created in this world. But it's just absolutely amazing. Creating the universe, creating us. God's fingerprints are everywhere. We sing that little song with our little kids, you know, fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much He cares. That's so true. Look for example at Psalm 139. The psalmist says about God's creation how beautiful and marvelous are His works. In verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. When we're talking about you and we're talking about me, we're talking about humanity. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Here is this beautiful praise for the Lord because of the beauty of creation. We get the opportunity, don't we, to praise God, to look at what He's created, to see the marvelous works which God has brought forth for our benefit, for us to enjoy. God's fingerprints are everywhere, even within your body. When it comes right down to it, the most incredible creation in the universe is you. With all your fantastic senses and strengths, your ingenious nervous system and mental capabilities, so great that you may never use them to the fullest. Your body is a structural masterpiece, more amazing than anything in science fiction. Guinness, 1987. And that's so true. The psalmist says, marvelous are your works. The second thing we notice in verse 10, notice verse 10, for you are a great God and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. The bountiful blessings. There is so much truth in this. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a podcast not long ago, and an individual was talking about one of the most difficult times in his life. And he said, I did the old proverbial count my blessings. This particular individual had gone through a horrible divorce. The love of his life left him, cheated on him. He thought life was basically over. How could he ever go on after this? And he said, I started just thinking about all of the other blessings. Outside of that, when all of the other blessings in my life. And he said, I just got to the point, why am I going through this? Why am I letting this drag me down? God's giving me so much more than just this one relationship. I mean, God's giving me relationship after relationship after relationship. God's given me a church family. God's given me friends. God's given me a great job. God's given me a means to bless others. And he wasn't trying to minimize the devastation that he had experienced in that dark moment in his life. But what he did say was, he said, I just did the proverbial count your blessings. You know, I don't know if that's actually the premise behind the Psalms. But let me just say that you can see in the Psalms individuals writing during some of the darkest moments of their life. And they are depending on God, and they are looking for God to be a shield and a shelter in time of need. And they are looking at God to be the one who can carry them through. And you know what? When we experience dark moments in our life, we too can resort to the Psalms and look at the blessings that God's given. And then we can take a step back and individually count our blessings and look at how wonderfully we are blessed. God gives generously to those whom He loves. You're a great God, and you do wondrous things, the psalmist says. I mean, the daily blessings that He gives, He causes the sun to rise. S-O-N, to rise. Think about it. I saw on Facebook just this week, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I want you to think about that. Yeah, you may have that dark moment on Friday, but don't forget, Sunday's coming. The day that Jesus was resurrected, it may have looked bleak and as dark as it possibly could on Friday, but Sunday was coming, wasn't it? Jesus said on the third day, I will rise again. God raised His Son. That is a tremendous blessing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, what does the Hebrew writer say? He upholds all things by the power of His Word. He gives us the opportunity to love, to serve, and to honor Him. He has even to this present time given us the gift of this moment. Think about that. There are a lot of people who lost their battle and do not have that gift that we are enjoying right now, this moment. God has blessed you so much. You woke up this morning. Was the first thing you thought about when you woke up, I'm breathing? Most of us know. It's just natural. We just get up and we're breathing. But I'll tell you, you're breathing because it's a blessing and gift from God. You're here today. You're with a spiritual family. He's given us a spiritual family, physical family, friends. He's given us faith. And He continues to bless us beyond reason, even in the midst of trials and temptations. Even when we think the world is falling apart. I continue to hear people say, this world is worse today than it ever has been. There may be some truth to that, but you're reading through Genesis chapter 6, it's hard to imagine the world any worse today than it was then, where the thought and intent of every heart was evil continually all day long, with the exception of a few folks that got on an ark. I would say that's pretty bad. It's always been bad. I mean, we think, oh, this current society is going through such a dark time with homosexuality and transgenderism. And what do you think Paul was writing about to the church at Corinth? It was bad then, folks. And you know what? They didn't think, you know, this is doom and gloom. They got up, they put their boots on, and they started marching to the beat of the Lord. And they accomplished what the Lord wanted them to accomplish. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Help me out. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But notice verse 13, the blessing of freedom. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Deliverance. That's delivering. That's freedom, right? The greatest freedom we enjoy is through Jesus Christ. There was no greater deed than the wondrous act of Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. There is no greater freedom. I thank God that we in this United States of America enjoy freedom. But let me just say, There's a vast majority of people in the world who do not enjoy what we enjoy in this country. And you know what they still can obtain and enjoy? Freedom in Jesus. When you talk about Jesus. Talk about His freedom. Talk about what you enjoy in Him. That's where our true freedom lies. You might remember 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, Paul, as he's getting to the end of that letter. There's still more after this, but he wants to leave this thought in the minds of the readers. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I am thankful for the men and women who have sacrificed for my freedom in this country. Please don't misunderstand the point. But only this sacrifice and only this freedom lasts forever. Only this freedom. There's no greater sacrifice and no greater freedom than that which we enjoy in Christ Jesus. You might remember Luke's words as he records them in Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 30. The Bible says, "The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin." That's freedom. You want to talk about freedom? That's freedom. That's what we as the church should be talking about. Our freedom in Jesus Christ. It was President Harry Truman when he was in office. There was an attempt made to assassinate him. There was an individual who was charged with the commission of protecting the president. And in that process, this particular guard lost his life. And with the deep sadness, here's what President Truman said. He said, "You can't understand how a man feels when someone else dies for him." Until that moment, you may not get it. Well, I want to tell you, we have had that moment in Jesus Christ. We get it. Amen. We know that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Thinking of the cross helps us to appreciate our great God. And it brings us to our knees, doesn't it? To praise Him. Again, that's why we are here this morning, thinking about the cross. You know, we all may casually utter the words, "He died for me," but do we truly grasp the importance of those words? In the old spiritual hymn, "Were You There?" some meaningful questions are raised. This song is asking if we saw Him crucified, nailed to the cross. Did we see the earth plunged into darkness when the sun refused to shine? Did we see Him laid in a tomb? Such contemplation helps us to appreciate and praise God. As the song goes, "It causes me to tremble." And that's the feeling that we should experience as we recognize the grace of our God and the freedom that He has provided. And once we're gripped by that, it causes us to praise God. People come to church all the time, I know, for the wrong reasons. We come complaining, don't we? We'll complain about some of the silliest things, won't we? Songs and sermons and prayers and people. But that's not why you didn't come for the sermon or the songs or the prayers or the people. You came for God. Happiness is a byproduct. You don't gain happiness by seeking it. It's a byproduct. When you seek to do the right thing, then happiness comes because all of these other blessings. When you came specifically, and hopefully you came specifically today to praise God, did you see the byproduct of what praise brings? Happiness and joy and love and songs and sermons and reflection and encouraging words. We came to praise God. You can give your life, if you have not, to honor Him this morning and the sacrifice of His Son. and the freedom that is provided through the blood which He shed, if you need to respond in faith by believing that He is the one and only Son of God, John 8:24. By confessing that great confession of faith that He is the one and only, and that you believe that with all your heart, and then turning your life over to Him. Repentance is not just a one-time immediate thing that's done in the process toward becoming a Christian. It's a lifelong thing, isn't it? You're saying, I'm going to live for Him. Doesn't mean you're not going to fall. You're going to fall even when you're walking in the light. We stumble, don't we? But you're going to have a mindset that's going to be a change of mind that results in a change of action. And you're going to see that change over the course of time. You're going to be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. Freedom will come through the cleansing of water, through the blood of Jesus. If we can help you in your response this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.